Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Tall Dag of Nights, guys.
Oh, loved it. Yes. Are you kidding me?
You smell some crispy coming from your bell pipe. Delicious and crispy. All right, it is Black Monday. Ted Johnson, Scott Zolak with you here at 985 Sports Hub. Check us out, NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast. You got to get us on the app. Tap that app, 985 the Sports Hub app. Firings, obviously.
Lots of them.
Hugh Jackson, gone from Cleveland.
Happened no surprise there. My gosh.
Mike McCarthy, gone. Green Bay. The newest ones that happened today, Gase gone in Miami.
A little surprising.
Did he have enough time? Because I thought they got rid of some of their bad culture type players. Yep. They had some bad guys down there.
Yeah, they did. Brought in Amendola, brought in some guys to kind of get it going a little bit. I thought maybe he would get a little bit more rope. He didn't, obviously. But was there anything about Adam Gase that gave you, like, the idea that he was – an inspiring coach.
Yeah, prayer.
I mean, like,
here's Jim, the quarterback whisperer.
Adam Gase is the guy.
Great.
You know, Adam Gase is the guy at the gym that wears his hat way down low because he doesn't want to talk to anybody. Don't talk to me. The guy at the gym that wears a hat, or the girl, doesn't matter, is the don't talk to me guy. Adam Gase has his hat, like, down here.
That's
the whole
point.
It's like, dude, can you lift your hat up? Can we see what's in there? Hello?
And you know what he wears during games? Skinny jeans. Like, he's got skinny jeans on, his hands in his pockets. Like,
dude, right, come on, man.
I've told
head coaches got to have some authority. They got to have some presence about him. That guy has zero presence.
I was fortunate. I was fortunate because I had Parcells, I had Pete Carroll, and then I had Jimmy Johnson at the end.
How about that, bro?
And I've tried to tell these guys, you know, everybody loves it. Sean McVay's of the world. Look at it, man. You got some fast guys out there, Jared Goff. We're going to throw the ball. If you can't hold a room when you walk in, mm-hmm. or with the second you walk in a room, and that place doesn't go dead silent, you can hear a pin drop, then you got issues, man.
As a head coach, you do. He never really struck me as a guy, though, that had any real authority.
See, I mean, but we played in a different time, too, so maybe we're a little ignorant, too.
Well, hell, these coaches now, though, have to take classes in college on how to relate to millennials now. Like, can you imagine Parcells going, yeah, I got to take a class on how I got to understand my players better? Are you kidding? Parcells would always say to us,
tell that millennial, kiss my, you know what.
He goes, you're changing for me. I'm not changing for you. Right. That's what Parcells would always say.
Get some shoes and work on your own time, honey. You know, that whole Terry Glenn thing, that stuff got blown out of proportion.
Big time.
I'm not trying to say Sean McVay is a bad coach. I think he's a good coach. He's an innovator. He's good offensive mind. But at some point, the way it came to a head for the Dallas Cowboys, when you load up all these contracts with Jason Witt and Tony Romo and Dez, you got reset. It happened in Seattle. Didn't make the playoffs. They kind of made it, and then he built it the right way again. They had all those high-paid contracts on defense. Legion of Boom, they blew that thing up. At some point, in the next year or two, when you get to it, when you got to pay Goff, and this is where it really comes to a head for these teams. You have these quarterbacks that you draft in the first round, so you have 5 years of control. Mm-hmm. That's why it's worth probably taking a guy second round, like the Garoppolo thing, 4 years of control. And that had to come to a head. What are we going to do? We're going to pay him or we're going to deal him? You end up dealing him. But when you got to pay the quarterback the $28 million, that's where these coaches, these GMs come into problems, because now all of a sudden it hurts our team.
Oh.
So that's
Ryan Grigson used to use here's that as an excuse all the time.
I don't know who this guy had pictures on, Marvin Lewis, and I am so tired of the people that have picked the Cincinnati Bengals as the sexy pick because, why, they're the most talented team, street ball team, that was a dirty team. that played by like a bunch of hoodlums, and the type of culture that they allowed to exist there with the Vontaze Burfict.
Vontaze Burfict. Can you imagine
Adam Pac-Man Joneses of the world?
And those guys had long careers there. Pac-Man did.
They
loved Vontaze Burfict's still there.
Yeah. How many playoff games they win?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, I think he was there for 16 years, Marvin Lewis. 7 playoff appearances.
Right.
0 playoff wins.
It's unbelievable.
Dude, it's like 3 or 4 years too long. I can't believe Mike Brown kept him around as long as he did.
Right.
And it was a gym that somebody put the bug in my ear that maybe it's Hugh Jackson and waiting for that job. I would be like,
clown.
Are you kidding me? Hey, watch the Hard Knocks. Watch this year's Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks did no favors to 2 coaches in this league. One was Joe Philbin.
Yep.
When he was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
And my mate Forrest Gump.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just no authority, no presence. And then Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson, if you watch Hard Knocks, you'd just be like, what a clown.
Hey,
how's this guy running?
I know you're trying to tell me to do things. You just remember who's sitting in the big chair.
Yes, sir.
Me.
Yeah.
Like, my thanks, bad. Hugh. It's a shame that Todd Haley, of all people, knew that this guy's an idiot.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, and Todd had no problem calling him out in those.
Hey, like Josh Gordon's in the building. The bird and eagles landed.
Yeah.
Is he in shape or not? You know, just the typical, you know, dick type comment.
Oh,
that
big time.
Haley knew how to deliver. It was good. What do you make of Vance Joseph out in Denver?
Look, I am a former teammate of Vance.
Yeah.
Vance and I played at University of Colorado together. He backed up actually Cordell Stewart. He was an option quarterback.
Okay. Who's his quarterback now in Denver? Like, can you even? Like, we know Case Keenum's there, but yeah. He's not the answer.
He's not.
See, I think part of these guys get attached to bad guys like Gase down there. I don't think Tannehill's any good. Case Keenum's okay. He's a journeyman.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to say, hey, he's our franchise guy. We're going to build it around.
But you talk about, I think, how guys get head coaching jobs. What was Vance Joseph? What were his qualifications? He was a secondary coach for the Texans for a while. Then he went to Marvin Lewis's staff, yep. Was secondary coach there. Then got hired by the Dolphins to be their defensive coordinator. Had a bad defense. Then he went to Denver, where Gary Kubiak and John Elway are close. Thick as thieves, those two. And he loved Vance Joseph did. Elway did. And because of Kubiak.
Okay.
Because of Kubiak. Kubiak loved Kubiak him in Houston.
Okay.
Kubiak told Elway, you need to bring this guy in. And gave him a shot. He was in way over his head. He should have been fired after last year, to be honest with you. He was in way over his head. So it was the relationship that Kubiak had with Vance Joseph while they were in Houston.
Okay.
They got him that Denver job. So a lot of it comes down to just relationships.
Dirk Cutter, no shocker there. And I just think that's a bad situation all around. We've touched on Hugh Jackson. So it's official out in Arizona. Wilkes gets popped out there. There's another opening. So, I mean, this is a pretty good Black Monday for coaches out there to think, okay, there's going to be teams that are interested. And there's a lot of people and teams that already requested to talk to Brian Flores and also Josh McDaniels. How picky do you think McDaniels is going to be here through the process? I mean, he's already gone through this extensively.
Don't you think he's going to be as picky as he's always been?
Right,
I mean,
now,
is anybody more picky about a head coaching job than Josh McDaniels? I mean,
right now, when you hold this up.
Holy cow.
When you hold that piece of paper up, don't you really say, okay, no there, no there, no there. I'm looking at, right now, Green Bay and Cleveland. I got Cleveland as a favorite.
Okay, I would McDaniels. Say, okay, here's what I'd do, Zoe. I'd go to Cleveland. I would absolutely go to Cleveland. Okay, the ownership, ugh. A little shaky. John Dorsey, I don't know.
Parcells guy, though.
Okay, that carries some weight then. I did not realize that. That carries weight.
Not extensively, but sort of wants to build it that way.
He had success in Kansas City.
Yep.
He's the one that got that Kansas City nucleus together.
And you had Pioli there, too, holding that fort together.
Yeah.
He's in Atlanta now with Demetrio.
I would go to Cleveland. Baker Mayfield.
Cleveland's got the facilities.
I mean, he's kind of douchey, Baker, but the guy can ball.
Kid can play. Kid's ready. He's got some moxie. I love Mayfield. I think, why would I want to go? If you're Josh, why would I want to go? Okay, Aaron Rodgers is really good. We know Aaron Rodgers is great. Okay, preface this with that. That's funny we even have to do that. But at 36, seems like a whiny bitch at times, to be
sometimes.
Put it politely.
Yeah.
All the times.
Yeah.
Like, you're going there. That's going to be Aaron's team. That's Aaron's offense. Same with Brady. Like, anybody that's going to take over, it's Brady's offense. Do you really want to do that where this could potentially be your last chance at a head job? Or do you go there? Do you continue to be innovative? They have money. You can spend it. The defense is young and aggressive.
Young.
Very young. You got edge guys. You got good secondary personnel. And you got a team now that actually has gone out, competed under Greg Williams. Greg freaking Williams. Two claps. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, how many meetings do you have to sit in? Let's get two claps.
Two claps. What are we, in high school?
Yeah, what are you, JV?
What are we, not even high school?
JV.
But here's the thing.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, they're competing. Like, that's a sign that there's something.
I'd go to Cleveland. Go to Cleveland. I wouldn't go to Green Bay. I would not touch Green Bay.
I wouldn't either.
Because
everybody thinks Green Bay's a dream job.
Josh McDaniels is going to go there. And here's the thing. It's going to be like how when Gary Kubiak brought in Peyton Manning. Oh, how Gary Kubiak has one offense, and Peyton runs a totally different one. How are they going to mesh? Well, they didn't mesh.
You'll let Peyton run it.
Peyton ran it, but then he was. It wasn't good. It was like both concepts were mixed into one, and it wasn't good. I mean, he was terrible. Peyton at the end of his career was terrible. I can see that happening. I can see Josh McDaniels having this kind of an adversarial kind of thing with Aaron Rodgers because they're totally two different offenses. You know, and Aaron's gonna be like, "Hey, I've been doing it a long time my way, bro. I don't need you coming in here and telling me how to play quarterback at this point in my career."
All right, so I want you to process this as you listen here. So the wild card weekend starts this weekend. First game out of the shoot, it's Colts at the Texans. 4:35 kick on Saturday. I'm saying this from the AFC perspective. Sunday, it's Chargers at Ravens in the early game, 1:05. From a Patriots perspective. Load them up, 617-779-0985. Who you want to face? What's the best matchup for your team, for your Patriot team that has the number 2 seed? What's the worst matchup? What's the best one? What's the worst one? Who do you want to see? Who do you want to avoid? I want to advance this topic a little bit more when we return next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That, huh?
I'm a big, Pearl Jam guy.
Oh, my God.
I told an Eddie Vedder story last week. I won't do it again.
I remember...
met Eddie Vedder in
you
Bangor,
idiots
Maine.
drove like 8 hours to go see him one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the promoter guy that took us.
Tried to get Drew to go, too. I remember he freaking driving.
The guy told us, it's like Bangor, Maine. It's like it's only like two and a half hours away. Turned out,
you drove to Bangor, Maine during a week.
And we had practice the next day. It was me and Swamp Chicken, 1996.
Oh, you deserve to get your ass kicked for that one.
We had 2 hours of sleep. We got dry spit going at practice, but it was a bye week, so we didn't play that weekend. So we had one more day of practice at the end of the week for our bye weekend. And Todd and I went up to Bangor, Maine, got to meet Eddie Vedder backstage. It was pretty awesome, man.
But you talk about dingbats we play with that have no clue, like a map or where places are.
Yeah.
My favorite one is playing the Aussie and play these basketball games and, get a little bit of money on the side.
Oh, yeah, a little check. Chubb,
hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you, 3 alumni guys, and we'll give you 8 current guys, and we'll put 11 guys together, play your local, police or, fireman. And we're sitting there waiting, and, there's like 8 defensive backs we're supposed to play in the game, DBs and linebackers. Like, where the hell are these guys at? And we're playing in Plymouth. Plymouth Rock. You know where the Mayflyer.
Yeah.
Well, you know Plymouth on the map.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing we actually see Plymouth Rock.
They ended up in New Hampshire.
Oh, boy.
Missed the game.
It was probably in Plymouth, New Hampshire, probably.
I'm not going to name names. One of the dumbest guys. I've told stories. Like, one of the dumbest guys I ever played with.
Oh.
And it did surprise me at the time. But Not the Alamode. No. Okay. It wasn't Vincent. He was great.
I love that you say Alamode, and you'll know exactly who I'm thinking of.
He had other issues. Okay, so I asked you and callers, and we are loaded. If you're hanging on to talk about what we were hanging on earlier, I appreciate it. But, now let's start looking at how this thing's going to transpire this weekend. So, obviously, game number one, Colts at Texans. I'm picking the Texans in that game, which is automatically going to put the Texans here.
Okay.
And you say, well, how does that happen? Because, you're the highest seed left, so highest seed would play New England, lowest seed would play Kansas City.
Yep.
So I just think following Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're going to be having the Houston Texans here. Who do you send to Kansas City out of Chargers-Ravens?
Ooh.
Who does Kansas City not want to see?
I would probably I don't know if they want to play the Ravens.
I think they want the Ravens. I think they think they can outscore the Ravens.
Okay.
I don't think the Ravens can score points. I think it's one of those games when Kansas City didn't know what they were in for. when Baltimore came out there and punched him in the mouth. I think Andy's good enough to adjust to that. Chargers, I think, know him too well.
Yeah, I mean, and let's face it. And you have, I think it's the only AFC team in the playoffs, though, that has a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. And the Chargers do that. It's the only team in the AFC that can boast a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. So
how do you so you would rank this then by the four teams that are playing wild card weekend? Chargers, Texans, Ravens, Colts, or Colts Ravens?
I would probably put Colts Ravens.
I would too. I would do that exactly Colts-Ravens. Like that. I'd go Chargers, Texans. See, I think Texans are going to win, so that's going to bring them here divisional round.
Lamar Jackson's still a rookie quarterback who's only been playing since week 11. I know he's A, but Ted, he's been running up everyone's backside. Yeah, but he's still a rookie. And he's still prone to making mistakes. And the playoffs are a whole different animal. They really are. So that's how I would do. That's how I would handicap those, though, for sure. But I think, I mean, they all every team has a flaw. Every team, and I'll say, the reason I think the Baltimore Ravens, the Chiefs don't want to play them is because you're just not used to seeing.
Right.
It's like a college offense with a little bit of some of those principles back in the 90s when it was option. I mean, they got they go pistol. They do a ton of re-option. They do option out of the pistol. I mean, you don't see that in today's NFL, no, so that can be dangerous in the playoffs.
That can. Okay, let's get back to these calls. Let's go to Scott Gardner. You're up next on Zolak and Bertrand. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing, Zola and Ted? Which is the worst defense you're worried about coming to Gillette with?
Ravens for me.
I would say the Ravens.
Texans.
Texans got Texans a great two. Front, but you can still get on. You can still put points on them.
Chargers. You know,
I just put the Chargers know. And Ravens is the top.
Chargers
two
have two really good pass rushers. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah. They got a stud.
Was it Ingram and Bosa? Right.
Yes, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Yes.
Yeah.
Great edge rushers, and they got a good secondary too. I think Baltimore's defense would be tougher. I really do. They still got great players, and like you said,
they're aggressive.
They're not afraid to come in.
Weddle's a guy too that'll come up and sit. It's sort of
that a stud
that Pittsburgh defense when Polamalu was there.
It's kind of the same thing. He does a lot of the same kind of things. Yep.
All right. Anything else, Scott?
Yeah. So you know who this is from Gillette?
Oh, Scott! Oh my God, yes. Scotty working the door.
Yes. Yes, it is.
This doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, well, I'm on the house phone, so it's not doing well.
You guys have like a pregame ritual when you see each other on game day?
Yeah, we hug.
You guys like have a secret handshake y'all do, like all the NBA players?
All kind of things.
That's awesome.
Do you know that? Joe's
one hell of a guy.
He's the best,
one
buddy.
One of the nicest guys I have to work with.
Jim Nance brought this guy a CBS jacket, a blazer.
Huge Jim Nance fan.
How could you not be? Hello, friends.
Classy guy.
Scott, we love you. I'll see you in 2 weeks, pal.
You got it, my friend.
All right, buddy.
I love it.
He was so excited. He started tearing up when Nance brought him the jacket. Nance has done. I was talking to Nance and Romo. It was actually Sims when he gave it to him. But the amount of games that they did in like a 5-year span, it's like we're just going to keep coming back because it was either 4:30 or, you know, they get us in the playoffs or if they had the Super Bowl. Like, every year they would have 6-7 games that they would do in New England.
Absolutely. How about Jim Nance? He's like been reborn again with Tony Romo in the booth. I feel like he's like a giddy school.
You in on Romo or out on Romo?
I'm kind of in.
You in?
I'm kind of in, bro. Like I'm not gonna lie, dude. He's a little giddy. He's like a little giddy school, you know, schoolboy. But I learned stuff. From
I
him.
Like the grunts and stuff. But I've only heard a couple games. See, they're usually.
I don't like when he calls out the plays for.
We're traveling, or they're calling a game, or if they're out west, it's.
You haven't heard him enough. I think you'd like him.
We don't match up a ton.
And I think he's reborn. You know, from going from Phil Sims to.
Couldn't stand him from knowing what you knew about Bledsoe and what, you know, talking to him about down in Dallas. And then you get next to him, and I've talked to him at games. I dig him.
Oh, yeah.
He plays 80s music to get fired up before the games.
Does he really?
He's got a handler. He's got one of those little speakers, those little, what do they say, Alexa. Alexa, play 80s music. Sorry, people out there.
Here's the problem with this year's team, with the Patriots team, is that they weren't good enough to get the number one team. So I had to watch a lot of games with Dan Fouts.
That's another.
I know I'm not supposed to turn it down, and then I'm supposed to turn on the Sports Hub and listen to you, but it didn't time up right. So I'm listening to Dan Fouts a lot this year, man.
I heard he's pretty good.
He's all right. He's okay.
Not really.
You're being really nice, Ted. And so, that's one thing I do keep up. I see all the mentions on Twitter and people just crushing thoughts.
I wish the Patriots were better so we got more of the A team.
Hey, do you fear the Titans at all? Our old friend Deion Lewis, who called you cheapskates. That's what you get when you go into cheap and you don't pay people.
Yeah.
How's his team doing? He
not
coming
good,
in here?
Man, no.
Oh, wait, they're not in the playoffs. That's right.
Well, they had to roll into yesterday's game with Blake.
It's another
Gabbert.
Team that got flying high after they beat you, and the next thing you know, they lose a couple games.
Well, how do you think Vraves did in his first year, though?
Should be rookie coach of the year. Yeah, should be rookie coach of the year. I think he's fantastic in what he did.
No surprise he did as well as he did.
And I'm like you. I've watched the stuff during breaks and in between stuff where he never gets flustered to where the emotions take over the game. You see some of these coaches slam stuff, and you watch Nick Saban the other night. Vrabel really controlled, takes the tablet, goes, stands and reads stuff, flipping through things, using everything. Then he gets on one knee in front of the defense, and they all listen. Mm-hmm. And you see them all tuned in. That's the stuff I watch in between, you know, series. What are the adjustments he's making and the attention to detail? He's got a damn good guy in Dean Pease, you know,
very
doing
good.
The defense. You know, he's got a good offense corner. So I think his management style is really good. It's going to fit his team well, and that's only going to get better.
Yep.
He's got a good GM in John Robinson. So that thing's heading in the right way for them. But poor little Deion Lewis not in the playoffs because, you know, but –
You know what he did?
I think it was when you cheap out.
Yeah, I know. He probably shouldn't have said that. It's a bad look. But I think one thing he did do is a really bad look. Is that he brought in a guy? He's got an Ernie on his staff. I don't know who
he does.
I heard him talking about it earlier in the season. He has got an Ernie on his staff.
Don't you have to have an Ernie?
I think every coach should have an Ernie in the booth. I'm shocked that more guys don't have just one guy that's there to help with time management and to help make decisions in critical moments like Ernie is.
I'd love to have an Ernie during my show.
I wish you're right.
A personal assistant that I can rely on. And you know what?
I need an Ernie at the gym.
It's him.
Somebody to bring me water.
It's Louth.
It's Jim.
See, and this is the best thing about Jim. And
I think Jim enjoys being your Ernie.
Jim's been with me. How many years now? 15? He knows me like the back of my hand. I'll be in there and Jim will be with us, you know, in games when he's down there in the booth. And Jim will see things that I see, but he knows I didn't talk about.
Yeah.
And he'll just have these little reminders here and there that I'll be able to tee up that'll help me advance my point and make me look smarter. Like Ernie makes Bill look smart.
You know how lucky you are to have a guy like that?
Yeah, workhorse.
Big time. Big time.
All right. We got time for one more call? No. Oh, wow. We're flying here. All right.
Got a full board still.
Sean Silver, Hub Headline, and more playoff talk with you next.
Because Ernie Adams is just going to say, Bill, probably on the next drive, we want to go for two here.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots blew out the Jets yesterday, 38-3. Rex Burkhead and James White both caught TD receptions from Tom Brady.
Backfield, we got Sony, Rex, myself. Everybody can catch, everybody can block. Coach can call any play, no matter who's in there. So we keep guys fresh. The defense kind of has to pay attention to who's in there. And I think it helps our offense as a whole. We have a lot of playmakers. And like I said, defense just really had the game plan for us and, you know, kind of find out who they want to stop.
Patriots headed for a bye and a home game in 2 weeks. Their eighth team season in team history with an undefeated home record. We'll look forward to 1 o'clock game at Gillette on January the 13th. The playoff matchups are set next weekend for the AFC, the Colts at the Texans, the Ravens hosting the Chargers, and the NFC, the Eagles will visit the Bears, Cowboys host the Seahawks. Black Monday today, coaches are falling off the carousel. Nearly a third of the NFL head coaches have lost their jobs. Marvin Lewis and the Bengals announced their mutual separation this morning. Other moves this morning include Steve Wilks out in Arizona, Vance Joseph in Denver, and Adam Gase let go by Miami. The Dolphins also announcing they're reassigning Mike Tannenbaum with Chris Greer assuming head of football operations. The Raiders making a move today. They'll have a new GM in Mike Mayock. Boston Bruins in South Bend getting ready for the Winter Classic. Their practice today moved indoors due to inclement weather. And the Celtics will take on the San Antonio Spurs tonight, finishing up a three-game road trip. You can hear it on the Sports Hub. Our pregame coverage for Sean Grady and Cedric Maxwell starts at 6:30. The Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Northern Bank. See what the number one rated community bank in New England can do for you. Northern Bank, stay true. NBTC.com, Northern Bank, member FDIC. I'm Sean Silver, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 1 o'clock.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
See what my man T-Bone is doing back in studio. Oh,
he's having a good day today, man.
But it is New Year's Eve day. Amateur hour, right? I mean, I call this amateur hour. Do you even go out for New Year's?
I'm going to go out for a little bit tonight, but no. I'm past my prime.
Yeah, we got some strange neighbor having a party. He got invited over. We got to go over and do that. I know he's listening. That's why I call him strange.
But you had a great neighborhood, though, man.
Oh, our neighborhood.
Remember the house I lived in down the street? Am I really?
Over. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You're down south.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, down towards the Cape. So I probably have to pass. But remember the house I rented, like three houses down from you? Who was the receiver that owned it? Who bought it?
Oh, Brian Stabline.
Brian.
And then we had Bo Pelini come over, and we would party there, and they would all make fun of Stabline's wife.
Oh.
And Ray Perkins lived three houses down.
But Brian didn't. He didn't even make the team. Remember, I rented it because he bought that house in the offseason after he signed.
His wife, he doesn't make the team. The whole inside of the house. Yeah. They put all this work into his house.
It's really nice. I lived in it for.
We thought that too. Like
for a year.
Why would he buy it? Why would he buy a house here?
He was pretty confident. He's pretty confident he's gonna make the team.
And then you had Ray Perkins. And
didn't you tell all the quarterbacks' wives that they brought in Parcells would bring in to replace you, not to rent, don't buy.
Well, no, it was my wife.
Oh, your wife?
Amy was.
Well, here's part of the problem. Like, you go to camp.
Amy's the best.
You go to camp, and you got, I mean, we get cut down to 53 our roster, right? I mean, you get 50, you got about 53 guys. You get your eight practice squad players, blah, blah, blah. So you start camping 90 people. And when you had real two-a-days, I laugh at camp now.
Oh, it's a joke now.
These guys are
back
so,
when we played.
So soft. It's a country club.
It's so
we
soft.
Had real two-a-days where you would actually live away from your family.
Yeah.
And your girlfriends or your wives would come to visit. And they had a holding area where, you know, it was a family tent. So you kind of had to get to know everybody. And she'd be sitting there. And, you know, Parcells would always bring Jay Walker or Jay Barker. Jay Barker just won a national championship in Alabama. They brought him in. He's king bleep. And his wife's sitting there, one of them Southern girls. She, oh, yeah, we're looking at houses and this and that. And my wife hears it. What are you looking at houses for? Well, I'm looking to... What are we going to buy? And Jay, she goes,
I love this.
I'll give you a little piece of advice. Probably want to rent. So when he gets released, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's almost a catfight in the tent.
Oh, I love
it.
You know, Ames,
but Amy's
I love
delivery
that.
Is so good and condescending, sweetly. Yeah. Like, you think she's nice?
She did it in a nice way.
I've pulled her out of bars where she's kicking, and you know, somebody says something bad about me. She goes,
oh, like, she's got your back, boy.
Do not insult me. Do not infringe upon me. She will cut
as she should.
She will cut your throat. Oh,
as
man.
She should.
Yeah,
man.
But
that's a great story.
One of my favorite.
You sure you want to buy? Hey, Jay Bark, you sure you want to buy?
Yeah.
Winning national championships. I guess that's a big deal. You know,
yeah.
It's a little different up here in the NFL.
It's a different animal. there's another thing here too, where Jim, you just said something down Atlanta. So Sarkisian gets whacked. Who else did they fire? In Atlanta.
Defensive coordinator Marquand Manuel.
Okay.
And the special teams.
So this is a team that was in the Super Bowl. 2 years removed from the Super Bowl.
28-3.
And I got a list of guys right here, Teddy J.
Never be the same.
Where there's a guy ranked number two by the name of Matt Ryan making $30 million. His team is not in the playoffs. But you know what happens around Matt Ryan when you make that much money? Never get any piece of the blame pie. You know who's going to get blamed? Coaches. Coaches are going to come and go because you have Matty Ice, who needs everything perfect around him. Six of the highest paid quarterbacks, their teams are not going to the playoffs. So you tell me what's right in this league. Aaron Rodgers is number one at $33.5 million a year. Matt Ryan, ranked number two, $30 million a year. Kirk Cousins, $28 million guaranteed for the next 3 years after this.
Years. I want his agent.
Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously at 27.5. Now he hurt his knee. Matt Stafford, a guy who's pretty much have everything handed to him and has had nothing but talent placed around him. Megatron going down to the Golden Tate, who they finally end up moving on from. Derek Carr, $25 million. How'd that go for the Raiders? David Carr, right? No, it's Derek Carr.
Carr.
I got it right. I usually screw it up. So Rodgers, Ryan, Cousins, Jimmy G, Stafford, and Carr. Top six quarterbacks paid in the National Football League, their teams are not going to the playoffs. I want to talk about Kirk Cousins real quick.
Yeah.
Did you see Thielen, his receiver, get into it with him on the sideline yesterday?
Jim and I were talking before the show, I did see that. I was honestly, I don't know if there was a history with those two, but I was shocked to see it because, I mean, if you saw the recruiting process, the
courtship,
it was like everybody, it was all just rainbows and lollipops. Yep. And I mean, your offensive coordinator gets fired halfway through the season. It's not looking good there.
Okay, now I've been a big Thielen guy. I think he's a good player, right? Yeah. This is a kid that it came up the hard way. He had to do one of those tryout camps. It's an in-state kid. He ends up making a team. He
broke
battles.
Out, what, like a year good or two player. Ago? I mean, he's only been on the scene like the last couple of years.
Two or three years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So he had this big tryout camp with the Vikings, and he finally makes his name, gets in there, gets his foot in the door, does everything with it. Good for him. I don't watch a lot of Vikings games, and I haven't over the years, except for, you know, obviously the playoff games, the Diggs catch mm-hmm. and all that. And you just have this perception, okay, he's a pretty good kid, hard-run kid. You know, kid's going to catch everything. I just love those grinders. And you get him up here, and you see him bitch at Belichick the whole entire game. And Bill's giving it back to him. They're going back. I'm like, you're getting outside of your game where you're being affected by what a head coach is saying, and you're actually going to start attacking Bill. Then I see him attack Cousins on the sideline where he takes the helmet off. And Cousins, and I watch a Kirk Cousins special this year, one of those documentaries, and it may have been an E3 30 for 30, whatever the hell.
He's an interesting guy.
He's a different kind of cat.
Different cat.
Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do drugs. They're big Christians, he and his wife. He has everything labeled in a freezer in his garage where all the steaks. And he's one of those type A organized.
His life is very organized. Very organized.
But he's maniacal in his approach of everything. So he snaps. He gets up. And you see him start, you know, hey, I'm telling you, I want to run. I want you to run that post corner this way. And if you're breaking here, that's where I expect you to be. Mm-hmm. And Thielen's bitching at him, saying, well, I'm trying to break it up. You can see him say, I don't have the time. I don't have 10 seconds to hold it. I need you to be here. And it was deliberate. And they had another one of those later in the game. I'm siding with Cousins on this. You know, you get around these guys. You know how some of these guys are wired. If you're told to be in a certain place, you better be there.
Yeah.
And
defer to the quarterback, though.
I think he's pretty good. He's turned the ball over for them. But still, man. $28 million a year, fully guaranteed contract. You don't see those in the league at this point. And he's one of the few that have that.
It's an unbelievable contract that he got. I mean,
my point is,
ball's on that guy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, to bet on himself the last few years in Washington and not get hurt and play on franchise tag waiting for his big payday, and he got it.
Right. He came out.
I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit.
And they drafted him. And they drafted him after they drafted RG3. And I give them credit for sticking with this kid. So I'm watching morning shows this morning, like Good Morning Football, and you flip around ESPN's on. And people are, like, the guys on set that I don't think really watch as much as we watch.
Right.
I watch in detail. I think I absorb things really well. And they're ripping Cousins. Oh, you can't call your receiver out like that. And he's throwing a tantrum like Dan Marino. Learn about the player and how he's wired and how he operates. Maybe Thielen's not operating on the same page that he's operating on. And then I see Thielen play here, and I watch him, and he's throwing fits and slamming his helmet. And losing his cool here. I'm like, okay. So now you start to develop an opinion. You understand what that player and how that player's wired. I'm just saying to put that out there. I side with Kirk Cousins on the field.
Sometimes you have as much success as like an Adam Thielen's had in such a short period of time. You're told how great you are.
Yeah.
You think you're better than maybe what you are, and you think you're extended certain liberties that you're really not. I mean, you're one of the guys, and you're the quarterback. It's his team. Do what he tells you to do, man.
Yeah.
All right?
Hey, it's good to have you in here grinding, man. People want to talk. I mean, we've been loaded all day. I don't know what the hell is going on elsewhere. But, man, people love Ted Johnson. Let's get to Pete in Delaware. He's calling all the time. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, man.
Hey, I think the Colts are going to beat the Texans. I think Deshaun Watson's still holding on to the ball too long. And with just Hopkins being their biggest target, I think they'll shut him down, the Colts. But I think the biggest team that threatens anybody is the Chargers. They play great on the road. Bosa is healthy. Derwin James is a playmaker. And those receivers are just huge and athletic. And I don't know how you just shut one aspect down, because if not, more than likely you got to deal with Melvin Gordon too. So I think we're going to be facing the Chargers, which I think will be a very tough matchup.
Yeah, I do too. And I think you have your hands full. But more importantly, and as all things come down to it, how do you protect Brady? And then you get two edge guys. And
Ball out fast. A lot of screens, a lot of draws.
Chargers were up here a couple years ago.
Slow down that pass rush.
I think it was Bosa's rookie year, and I think Brady, it was three-step, five-step, boom, ball's out.
Hey, we were talking about how do you neutralize a pass rush when the Texans come out here? And we were talking about it before.
Run the ball at them.
Yeah, you run it, but the ball comes out fast.
Yeah.
Right? The ball's got to come out fast. J.J. Watt, another 16 sack season for him this year. One of the greatest defensive player I've ever seen play. He's never sacked Tom. And they've played a lot.
Have you watched his brother a lot, never, TJ?
TJ? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I put this out on Twitter after the Pittsburgh game. I think at this point in this stage right now, I think TJ's a better player than JJ.
Oh,
this is good. We're going to that, Ted. We're going to get into this.
I don't know about that,
a little one-on-one crime coming up next on Sports Hub. All right.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's your light bulb? All right, I put a tweet out post Pittsburgh game. Because there was nobody in the front of the Patriots, whether it was Marcus Cannon, whether it was Trent Brown, whether it was a guard, whether it was a back, whether it was James White, whether it was Devlin. Nobody can handle T.J. Watt.
Yeah, number 90. Somebody want to block that 90 guy?
Coming into that game, he had 16 sacks. But he didn't register a sack. He was double-digit sacks going into the game. He didn't register a sack going back to the beginning, first week one of November. Mm-hmm. And then he caught fire again here at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But just from a leverage standpoint, an athletic standpoint, I know they're different players, mm-hmm. different style player. I said at this point, this is where I know J.J.'s a beast. Okay, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just think right now, if you had to take one of those guys and put him in your front, who would you take?
Yeah.
I think I'd take T.J. off the edge.
I get it. I think I'm biased because I've been watching J.J. Watt for the last 5 years.
And I'm biased, too, because I've seen the Patriots handle him.
Yeah.
With other talent. Because it's not like, but to be fair, as we described this here, too, this is not like this is a double team, triple team of J.J. And Bill would always go gaga. You know, we do the all-access stuff. Yeah. Oh, J.J. Watt.
A lot of reasons to go
unblockable motor guy and energy and strength and wood chopper, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets single blocked by him all day long. Because Bill would start worrying about Clowney, double him, or slide him, we'll kick him out. Then we got Merciless coming on the hug blitz. So they would leave Watt single-handed. And how many sacks and how many times has he hit Brady? He's hit Brady.
But
zero sacks.
Zero sacks. He hardly gets... Yeah, here's the thing about J.J. Watt, though. I think maybe he's a little different than T.J. Is J.J. Watt is a dominant run defender. Like, J.J. Watt wreaks havoc behind the line. So
but this team here,
a lot of tackles for a loss.
What I would call games and get into Houston mode, mm-hmm. we never ran the ball. You throw it. You spread them out and you throw it.
Right. Yeah. And the one thing, I would say, if you had to go, okay, well, what is J.J. Watt's one weakness? And this is what the Patriots do very well. And I'm the biggest J.J. Watt fan. Okay. I got in trouble one time because I said he's the greatest football player I've ever seen. Whoa. Tom Brady. Okay. Yeah. He's the greatest.
Don't you love that reaction?
Oh, my God.
Houston. You can't have a comment about a certain player without having tunnel vision about another.
Do you know how many defensive MVP awards he's won? He's been in the league 7-8 years. He's won
probably
three.
Five. Okay.
Three.
I was getting five.
LT.
That's how good I think.
No. LT won three.
Right.
LT won three. J.J. Watt won three. He's phenomenal. But his ability to stop the run, but his one weakness, and this is what the Patriots do to exploit not only him but J.D. Clowney when they play each other, they use their aggression against them. Very undisciplined in their rushes. I mean, up the field, slip screens. Not disciplined as far as force. You can run a lot of stuff to the perimeter and beat them on the edge. And so their aggression can be used against them. And Belichick's very good at game planning plays to exploit that.
Like, I like movies. I'll watch movies.
Love movies.
See Predator.
You know, like I was on last night.
You know when that Predator dude, and he's all morphed out and all his gear and everything?
Yeah.
And when I stand next to Clowney, and I see Clowney, and I
kind of same
the length of the arms. Like, I have never seen an individual look so good in a uniform.
He's a cyborg.
Do you think they use him the right way? Meaning, do they not use him to his full capability?
I think his full capability. I think what he's just the best at is saying, line up in one place and go. They move him around a lot.
I wouldn't put his hand down.
No, you have to.
Oh, why?
Oh, You don't want him dropping back ever.
No, never. But I'm saying standing up, coming off the edge. I just think.
No, they do. You know what they do? They have him line up over the center a lot.
Yeah.
In that amoeba front.
Right.
And just, they'll tell him, hey, just go, you go find a gap and go kill people.
Yeah. Yes.
And so they're very creative in how they use. So they use him almost as much standing up, moving him around, as they do with his hand in the dirt. Okay? I mean, he's the most explosive. If you were to, what I would tell fans down in Houston, dude, is watch J.J. Watt and J.D. Clowney. We all have DVR, so we can all fast forward, rewind. That kind of, at the snap of the ball, watch those two get off the ball.
Yeah.
They are across the ball while offensive linemen are still in their stance. Incredible explosion. Great players. But you can neutralize it with the running game. And you know what Belichick would do to stop J.J.? He would run the power right to him. Double team in J.J. with tight ends, with fullbacks.
You always
power,
the best defender.
Run that's, right that's, to him.
Yeah.
And that's what Belichick does.
All right, let's take some calls here. Thanks for hanging. It's Meathead Radio with you. We're going to be here another hour at least. So 617-779-0985. Let's go to Rod. Or Rob. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey.
I got to ask a real quick question. First off, Scott, how did you do with the suitcase at the airport?
I got it closed. That thing went viral.
A lot of people were worried about you then.
It's nice my wife to film that.
I want to thank you for making my Alexa throughout the house play 80s music after you mentioned that.
Excellent.
It picked up your Alexa voice and you turned on 80s music.
Okay.
Thirdly, what's up when I see a great reception on the sidelines right in front of Bill Belichick? He shows absolutely no emotion.
Yep.
You see other coaches where a reception is made on the sideline right in front of the coach, and the coach is like, yeah. Is Bill just emotional?
I think Bill's got enough him-haws on the sideline that show you the emotion. You know, there's enough staffers. The only emotion I've ever seen out of this guy in 20 years is when that clock's 0-0 and he points up to whoever's in the booth he's got, and it's the fist pump and it's that smile. Remember when you would beat the Jets and he'd do that waddle when he had the big thick coat on?
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like here comes the crazy guy across the field.
Yeah.
Bill's selective with his emotions. Yeah. Never in game. But if he's getting chirped at, he'll give it back to you. Rob, thanks for the call.
Yeah, if he feels like he needs to go to the defense, if they, you know, something's going on. Right. There was a game they played the Texans not long ago where the Texans came out just kind of going down the field, and he called a timeout on the opening drive and brought the whole defense over, said something to him, went back out. But he rarely does that. It's usually when it's the defense, there's some questions about the defense. Will he maybe go over there and just like, hey, reemphasize some of the stuff that they've been game planning a little bit more? But other than that, yeah, not a lot of motion.
Okay, no commercials, 90 seconds. Silver with the Hub headline in the final hour of Meathead Radio is next.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.